Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me this evening my big sister, Sheila G. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. Good to have you once again. And I think we also have Dr. G, my good friend and mentor. You on the line, Dr. G?
I'm here.
Praise God. We thank God for keeping us one more week.
Amen.
And we don't take it for granted. I know a lot of things have happened over the week. I was able to talk to you all's son, Aaron, today. Thank God
good.
He was in an automobile accident, but the Lord brought him out with very few injuries. So we thank God for his keeping power, his traveling mercy.
Amen.
I know it's just good to know that when your child's in an accident, that they're all right. And,
amen.
They're going to be okay. And so we don't take that type of thing for granted, that God will keep us from last week to this week. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to be able to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, that's why we learn to take it one day at a time.
That's right.
Because we never know what tomorrow is going to bring, so we have to deal with today. And I know it's important to study the word of God because of just what life brings us. And I know as a pastor, Dr. G, you always encourage people to trust in the Lord with all their heart and lead not to their own understanding, and all their ways acknowledge him.
Woo!
He will direct our paths, because sometimes the road gets a little rough.
Yeah.
You got to turn to the Lord. Lord have mercy. But we thank God for just keeping us and just being there with us through all the life's ups and downs. That's one of the things I was sharing with Aaron, is that, you know, when I was a young guy, I was stopped driving while black, when you go to DW Blee, and all the challenges that came in my life as a young black male. But we had people that were praying for us.
Yes.
People that prayed for us, even when we were little, before we even got out into the world. And through the power of the spirit of that answered prayer, I believe that we have been protected from certain things, and that God has answered those prayers later on in our lives. And I thank God that even Jesus, when he prayed, you know, that we would not be of the world, in the world, but not of the world. And so he prayed that we would be able to be okay. And that's what we're studying in this book of Acts. We're studying about the Holy Spirit and how he carries out in our lives the things that God wants us to experience, and the things that God wants us to minister, and how God wants us to be able to operate to carry out his great command. And it's amazing when you start studying about the Holy Spirit that you see how God has orchestrated all these things. And so God has a plan. He knows the beginning from the end, but he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to assist us, or to be the helper that we talked about when we first started studying the Holy Spirit, the helper or the paraclete that will come alongside and help us to carry out what God wants us to do. And so when our grandparents and great parents prayed for us, the Holy Spirit was involved with that, knowing that our lives would be challenged by many different things, and that the Holy Spirit would carry out our protection, our guidance, our thoughts, and things that we sometimes take for granted, that somebody prayed for us, that somebody looked out for us, somebody said a word of prayer. Watch out for that young woman. Watch out for that young man. Help them in this situation. Help them in that situation. And those were uttered as prayers and carried out in the spirit. Oftentimes I look at what God says, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And those principles of speaking God's word to the situation, we might not see it immediately, but once it has been bound in, or loosed in heaven, that it will come to fruition. And we thank God that the Holy Spirit has the ability to carry out just when we need it. And a lot of times we look back over our lives and say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Sheila G.
Amen. That is, I mean, I think of that, especially recently when I was sick, and how the craziness where the Lord literally had somebody wake me up at 1:30 in the morning, and I didn't know. Then it's like it makes me go back into so many times in my life where it was one of those just in the nick of time, and in our mind. Just he was there just in the nick of the time, but the reality is he is always there, and he's always blocking and doing things to protect us, to lift us up, to build us up, to help us to avoid so many things. It's just that we don't see them all, and when we really, really see it and take a look at it, it does give you that feeling of, wow, God was there just in the nick of time. But and the truth of the matter is he is always there interceding on our behalf.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, I look at the well-worn poem of the footsteps in the sand, and that analogy of, you know, we were going along and I saw two sets of footprints, and then when it got tough, I only saw one, and got concerned. And the poem writer said, that's when the Lord picked me up and was carrying me. And the Holy Spirit will carry you through some situations that you think you're struggling, but he's there guiding you all the way. Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and it's funny because I preached Sunday from that thought, if it had not been for the Lord, who was
on
my
goodness.
Because I'd say about the last 3 weeks or so, you know,
I thought that
I've had to go through from water coming into the basement to Sheila falling out, having to run to the hospital, all that. And in every step of the way, the Lord was guiding us in the direction that he wanted us to do. He guided us.
Mm-hmm.
Who he wanted us to get to put the sump pump in, who to do the water restoration, who to come and do the reconstruction. And, you know, it's amazing how if you listen to the Lord and you're obedient to the Spirit, he will guide you in the direction that he wants you to go. And it's interesting, but you have to really be obedient and you have to be listening, and you can't get mad and frustrated and complain.
Mm-hmm.
When stuff happens, you have to remember that God is still right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do unless you know that you know that the Lord has got you. He will pick you up and carry you the rest of the way.
Amen.
Amen. And it's just so powerful to know that that Spirit is present with us, the Spirit of God is present with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like the psalm. For it says that God inhabits the praise of his people. Even in the Old Testament, Sheila G., he made himself present in the holies of holies.
Right.
And he was like a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night in the Old Testament. And
amen.
When the cloud moved and the fire moved, they moved.
Right.
they followed the leading of God, and
that's right.
So God's presence has always been with us, but I think sometimes the church struggles, in the Old Testament, that when God tells them to do some things, that they struggle sometimes, but when. And when the cloud moved, they moved. When the fire moved, they moved. And they were obedient to God, and God brought them through so many challenges. And that's the same way with us. We should take our direction from the Holy Spirit. And when we take our direction from the Holy Spirit, what happens is what man meant for our bad, God will turn it around for our good, Sheila G.
Yeah. Amen, and that is so true. And sometimes it's when a circumstance or what Satan put in a circumstance that he meant for our bad, God turns that bad situation into good. So it's sometimes Satan working through man, but sometimes it's just Satan working through stuff.
Amen.
Or working through circumstances, or working through just, for lack of a better word, crap, but then God just turned that thing around. You know, earlier this week when I was looking at how the flooding of the basement during the time that I was sick to how God came in and basically we're remodeling the basement, it's coming out better than it was, it made me think of that whole beauty for ashes, because it was ashes, and somehow he just turned it something beautiful. And I was talking to the pastor about it earlier this week, that I was just giving God the glory, because every time something awful happened, somehow he turned into something good. And that is something that we in the church really need to embrace, the direction of the Holy Spirit, the urging of the Holy Spirit. When God's telling us to do something, lean not to our own understanding. There was a book out in the I believe it was When God Doesn't Make Sense.
That's right.
And the gist of the book was, when you're going through challenges, when you feel like you're doing everything you're supposed to do, you're praying, you're studying, you're trusting in the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, but stuff still happens. And God doesn't make sense. And that doesn't make sense. But then out of the blue, here comes a blessing. Here comes a miracle.
Yep.
And it's like, well, Lord, you do that. Or tell me that was coming, or telling me that was what was going to develop me. But I think of it, when God doesn't make sense, that's when you really move, because if he made sense, then it wouldn't be faith.
Then it would be
based off feel, what you see, what you touch. But when you're following the Lord when it doesn't make sense, then that's stepping out on faith. And you become really in touch with him. You know, there was a situation today where I literally called Pastor. I was like, what I want to do and how I want to get handled and what is the logical and most analytical way to do it. For some reason, Spirit, even last night and during today, was saying, nope, don't do that. Nope, don't do that. It makes sense for me not to do it that way. So I called Pastor up, and he said, well, if the Lord's telling you, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
That's it.
And instantly, when I hung up that phone, that nagging feeling went away. It just went away. But it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. But I trust him. But in order for it, God doesn't make sense. That means walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen. Amen. And I wanted to go back to the book of Acts and sort of look at the eighth verse, Acts 1, verse 8. And it says, but ye shall receive power. And it says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And if you go over to the NIV and read it, it says, but you will receive power coming on you. And God is saying that he's going to give us the power, and the power is to carry out the second part of that verse. He says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. And so what God does is he gives us the Holy Spirit to be able to carry out his will and for us to be able to tell others about who he is.
Amen.
But before you can be good or profitable to someone else, you got to know God for yourself.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't know God for yourself, then you can't tell anybody about God. And so that takes us to, Jesus back in Matthew when we studied early on in chapters 3 and 4. And I want to go back there and just look at how he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform earthly ministry. If we go back to Matthew, and we want to go to the third chapter of the book of Matthew and look down to Matthew 3, verse 16. It says, and when Jesus, when he had baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So why did God demonstrate this with Jesus, with this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God? And if you go back to verse 15, it gives the answer. And Jesus answering, this is Matthew 3:15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, and this is the reason. For it becometh us to fulfill all right. In other words, in order for God's plan, his will, and his way to be filled out, to be carried out in us, the Holy Spirit has to be involved. And so here's the second part of the Trinity, the Son, is saying in order for this to be carried out, the Holy Spirit has to be involved. And the Holy Spirit has to be involved in my humanness, because those that are going to carry it out in humanness on this earth will need the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus demonstrated how this process of us being witnesses, how we carry out the plan of God, the will of God, power of the Holy Spirit. So he gave us this example of here's the Holy Spirit that is you're going to be your power that's going to give you the ability to carry out the will in the flesh, the will of God in the flesh. And without the Spirit of God, we can't carry out the will of God in the flesh. And so this is what Jesus was demonstrating, that we need the Spirit of God to carry out the will of God in the flesh, because this is where the battle for sin on earth is waged, because sin on the human entered in, like we studied back in Genesis, it entered in through Adam and Eve. And so it has to be dealt with in the human realm, in the human body of Jesus carried out in this realm. And so it happened with Adam and Eve in human form in the flesh. And so they lost their spiritual relationship with God. And so in order for it to be restored, Jesus had to deal with it in a human form on the earth in order to get that spiritual relationship with God the Father back. And so here's this dynamic of God saying, my son is going to carry out my will, and I'm going to give him the Holy Spirit to be able to carry it out, and this is how all those that come behind or come after him will carry it out. Dr. G, am I making headway on that? Dr. G, help me out.
You're doing well, because, you know, to be honest, in the human flesh, we just can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we become emotional. We get in our feelings, and we talk about church folk, man. You know, and first thing you know, without the Holy Spirit, we just couldn't do what God wants to be done. I mean, we forget, and I think a lot of people don't understand that the Holy Spirit is here to lead, guide, and direct us in the way that the Lord wants us to go. So without it, situations come up. If the power of the Spirit is not there, we're liable to go off either to the left or to the right in our emotions. So his power is there to lead us, guide us, and direct us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G., you want to chime in on that?
Well, as you were saying tonight about humanness and everything and how we have to be led by the Holy Spirit, I was thinking about the covenant of the church that we read every month, and it talks about having, you know, when we have excessive anger, or when we, you know, the bad refrain from this, or when we do that, and then we have to go and reconcile with our brother and sister. So it's recognizing our humanness. So we're speaking to our humanness and talking about, and everything that's laid in that covenant, the godly portion is talking about being led by the Holy Spirit to address the flesh. So in the covenant, it talks about our fleshly qualities, but it's also reconciling it to how we are supposed to overcome those through the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. And so when we enter into chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, Jesus is dealing with the flesh by, I would say, teaching of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit. And so, and before he starts his earthly ministry, the Spirit will deal with the flesh. And so if you look at Matthew 4, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, that's a powerful verse right there. That after the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Father was there, the Son was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. And he said, this is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased. And after that Holy Spirit, now he goes to deal with the devil. I don't know if everybody ready for that yet. after you've been born again, and we're going to look at Nicodemus a little bit later on. I don't know if we get to tonight where Jesus tells him, you must be born again. But after Jesus is demonstrating, is operating with the Holy Spirit upon him, immediately it says, then when Jesus let up the Spirit, the Holy Spirit to just lighten upon him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the first thing, Sheila G and Dr. G, is the temptation is the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, you got the Holy Ghost, but you still live in the what? Flesh.
Flesh.
Still live in this shell that is got to go to the dust before it gets back to heaven. We got to put on incorruptible. We got to put on immortal. Here we are with the Holy Spirit, saved, and still dealing with this flesh. And so what God did was to teach him in the flesh, or to discipline the flesh to follow the Spirit, is to have him fast. In the second verse, Matthew 4, verse 2, he says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. So this is the emotional part that we have to recognize. We have to recognize we're still in this flesh, and that we're going to experience things in the flesh. And so Jesus, Son of God, who was God and man at the same time, had to discipline that when he was hungry and when he was in his emotions and when he was going through things in the flesh, that he had to rely on the Spirit of God. Dr. G?
Well, you know, and that was the only way that he could. But what I love about it, and God, well, I tell you, God has a plan. He did all of that with Jesus, and here he was a son of God, and he allowed him to come down in human form to show us, and he left it on record that, okay, this is what you're going to have to go through. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in, this is how you can have the victory. And through what Jesus went through, it shows us that, okay, Christ went through it, not as God, but he went through it as a man. Yeah. We are going to have those moments when we're going to be tempted and tried. But what we have to do is to fall back on the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to victory.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G, tell us about that discipline that the Holy Spirit will teach you to overcome the flesh.
And fasting
will help you with that.
Yeah, fasting, because then you're learning how to deny the flesh.
That's right.
And knowing that when you deny the flesh, and you're leaning and depending on the Holy Spirit to bring you through, then it becomes, like you said, a discipline. It becomes a part of your behavior. It becomes a part of who you are as to how you deal with situations, because that you're denying the desire of your body. So the only way to continue to deny that is to completely 100% rely on the Holy Spirit. And I know as you were first talking about this, I had leaned over the pastor and I said, that's what we tell people when they join the church, that, okay, yes, you crying, you boo-hooing, you full of the Holy Spirit, you turned your life, you are on it, you ready to rededicate and do it. And he always tells them, as soon as you walk out that door, you're going to be tested, you're going to be tempted, and you're going to have to trust in the Lord to not fall back into that old way. And the only way to do that is for prayer service, Bible study, and consistently denying yourself and going to church, because that will be your refueling station. What you received on the day when you accepted the Lord is just the beginning of it, but you need to fuel it. You need to strengthen yourself. That's why, you know, Jesus went through the fasting before he was tempted, because that helped to show him that discipline, having to deny himself and lean on the Spirit. So that, yes, physically he was a hot mess, but he had already gone through the whole denial of his human senses and his human desires to trust on the Holy Spirit. And that's what we tell, and Pastor says that every time someone joins the church, and because they are, they really are ready. I'm committed. I'm ready to do this. But it's real.
Yes, it is.
But it's also real that as soon as you get out that door, things like, I'm going to take you back to old habits.
Hello.
I'm going to take you back to this. I know you're not strong enough to resist this. And so we do it because we want them to recognize that, to recognize when that attack comes so that they know that they're not alone and that you don't have to wait 7 days to come and, you know, come back and reveal that, because there are so many people that accept the Lord, trust in the Lord, say I'm ready to make a change, but then all of a sudden they fall off the earth because they yield to that temptation because they're not feeding that spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You guys are on it tonight. Thank the Lord. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. And it is so needed. Like you say, right, you know, at that moment when someone makes their decision to accept Christ in their life,
right.
to realize that he's coming in, he's going to take up residence, but we're still in the flesh. And
right.
And that's what the Satan plays upon, trying to get us to fall down in the flesh by these temptations. But God has already made a way. And later on in our study, we'll talk about the whole armor of God and how to use the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we forget about the sword of the Spirit. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:10 that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And we'll look at this in this next verse when Jesus was hungry and the Spirit led him out and he was tested and he was disciplined and he looked at Satan and Satan looked at him and he said, okay, I got you. You're weak in the flesh. Let me kick you while you're down. And so in Matthew 4, verse 3, it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. In other words, he's questioning his divinity. He's questioning his relationship with God. And that's what he'll do. He'll come to us and he'll try to sow doubt to say, are you really saved? Are
right.
you really a child of God? If you are a child of God, why would God allow this to happen to you? Why would God allow you to be in this situation? Why would God allow this to happen to you? Are you truly a son of God? And he said, if you're a son of God, you can change your situation. Command that these stones be made bread. And so here is where the Spirit has to overcome the flesh.
That's
why Paul said you had to crucify the flesh every day.
Day.
Because if you don't, and he said, you walk in the Spirit so you don't get room for the flesh to show out. Because everybody that lives in the flesh knows that they can show out and
Amen.
Show off and show their natural
Amen.
Behind.
Amen.
And Satan will have you out there looking like a fool. And there was a song back, I think it was in the 70s, that everybody plays the fool sometimes.
Sometimes.
There's no exception to the rule. And Satan will have you out there, especially if you're hungry. They got this thing to term out called angry, hangry, where you're hungry and angry at the same time. Hangry, where you don't act like yourself because of situations in the flesh, where you're hungry and angry because of your physical condition. And so here Jesus could be in a position to be hangry. And fall to the temptation of Satan saying, command these stones to be made bread.
Right.
And Satan knew it. He knew that he can make the stones be bread. He knows the power of God. But he knows that in weakness, we won't follow the word of God if we yield to the temptation, if we yield to the tempting of Satan. And there's a song that says, yield not to temptation, because yielding is sin. And each victory will help you another victory to win. And so the yielding to the sin, yielding to temptation is the sin, not recognizing it and confronting it and saying this is tough or this is a spiritual battle. But when you yield to it, that's when the sin takes root. And so what Jesus did is that he used the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, like we were talking about in Ephesians the sixth chapter, is the word of God. And so
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit, what we do battle with in the Spirit, is the word of God. By speaking the word of God, that's how we do battle in the spirit realm. I'm going to say that real slow one more time. By speaking the word of God, that's how we do battle in the spirit realm.
Amen.
By using the word of God, speaking the word of God. However,
mm-hmm.
if you don't know the word of God, you can't speak the word of God, which means you can't use the sword of the spirit, which does the fighting as a part of the full armor of God. And it's so basic to our survival in the spirit realm, but I think a lot of people are tempted and led astray by emotions and Satan, that they won't get into a good Bible study, a good devotion, a good understanding of the word, Bible believing, teaching church, that they lose so many battles and get beat up and are defeated Christians because they're not using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
And the key is you're defeated. Defeated Christians, and you will be defeated if you don't learn how to use that sword. It's just like the physical sword. If you're not trained on how to use it and you try to fight against somebody that does know how to use it, you're going to be defeated. So even if you have 20 Bibles in your house, just because you have them, if you don't know how to use it, it's not going to work. You will be a defeated Christian. You will be defeated. Just like if you aren't trained on how to use a physical sword, you will be defeated, as in any type of sport. But you got to make that sacrifice in order to be trained. You have to deny self.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things new converts have to deal with, because that's one of the things that Satan will say. They'll put that thing in there where they're tempted. The flesh is tempted, and so Satan will put, instead of saying, if you're the son of God, he'll say, you're not ready yet. So you know you want that. You know you want to get back into that wild life. You know you want to do that. And because you want to do that, you're not ready yet. So you need to get yourself together before you go back to church. Instead of, you know, just taking what little bit of prayer you have, and you may still have to work through those things, but at least you'll say, okay, I'm yielding still because I'm a babe in Christ, but I'm going to continue to learn more about the word. I'm going to continue to go to church so that as these temptations start coming, I can start to weed those things out of my life. But Satan will put in there, you just went up front, said you want to trust in the Lord, believe in him, gave your life to Christ, and look, you're back out here. So guess what? You're not ready yet. But that's not true. Why we put that in them, to say he's going to come at you, but no matter what happens, continue to come back. Dial in the prayer service. Call on Bible study. Come to church. No matter what happens, no matter what you're dealing with, continue, and you will get stronger, and you will yield more towards the spirit and less towards the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I was just sitting here while you all were talking and thinking back in my pastorage and some of the battles that I've had to fight. And I remember one in particular. I forgot what was some kind of meetings. I don't know what the setting was, but one of my deacons got upset. You talking about in the flesh. And he laid my behind out in front of the folk that were there. Told me I think I'm right all the time. I want to be right about everything. I mean, he just laid my soul to rest. Now, the flesh in me, and I wanted to but the Holy Spirit shut my mouth, and I let him finish. Afterwards, prayed us out, and we went home. I went back in the study, and boyfriend had to come back a few days later and apologize. I didn't raise my voice.
Mm-mm.
I didn't say a mumbling word. I didn't say anything.
But let us pray.
But let us pray.
Amen.
That is the way the Holy Spirit works. And when you are under its its spirit, on its power, he'll tell you when to speak, when not to speak. He will direct you in what to do. And in the flesh, you know, we want to retaliate and get back at folks. That's just not the spirit's way. And that is what Jesus did when being tempted by Satan.
And, you know, that prayer thing is really powerful. I mean, even with the situation with Aaron when this week with the accident and the police officer was giving him a hard time and he was in the ambulance and he was talking about what was going and he was really getting worked up to the point where I was like, oh, Lord, let me just somehow we got to calm him down because I want my child to get shot with these crazy police. And so he was getting worked up because he recognized that he was being mistreated. And I literally said, and it did calm him down, I said, you know what? Let's have a word of prayer. And in the middle of it, I started praying, and I was praying with him. I was praying for his peace. I was praying for his health. I told him I prayed for that spirit of calmness. I prayed, and I just, you know, just kept praying for him. And that quick, he calmed down. And that was nobody but the Holy Spirit. So by the time that police officer came back to the ambulance to kind of be all snooty and make her point, he was in a calmer state. He was communicate. He was able to say, okay, my mother wants to speak to you. She said no. He said, okay, can I have your badge number and your name? And I'm sure she was like, wait a minute, I had this boy all riled. Now I'm coming back to be calm. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you can't do anything else, as far as talking, encouraging, and trying to calm somebody down, if you just stop in the middle of it and pray, you talk about the situation. That's exactly what happened.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to jump over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 6:12. And we can start at verse 10. And Paul is talking to the church, and he's teaching them how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, which is the Holy Spirit. So in verse 10, he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Talking about God's might, the power of the Lord. And he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so you look at that, and I want to look at it in the NIV. It says, go back to verse 10, finally, brother, be strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's the NIV, against the devil's schemes. Where the King James says the wiles of the devil, schemes. He has schemes. He has plots and he has plans to try to get us to fall in the flesh. And so he goes on to say why we need the whole armor on is because what you were saying, Dr. G, is that we're in the flesh. And so in verse 12, he says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood.
Yep.
In other words, don't get it twisted that the flesh is in control. No, it's spiritual things that we can't see that are dictating the things that we can't see. That's why Paul also said that the things that we see are temporary, but the things that we can't see are eternal. But if you follow up in the second part of verse 12, he says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and this is the key point right here, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, we have to be able to fight in the spirit realm with the spirit. In other words, that's the only thing that's going to defeat the spirit. And if you look at that in the NIV, going back to verse 12, it says, for the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. In other words, there's spiritual forces that were back in the beginning that came against Adam and Eve when they fell, is the same spiritual forces that
yep.
will come against us in the flesh that are trying to cause us to fall. But
that's right.
we have to recognize the spiritual forces. And we were saying earlier from Jesus in Matthew, the third and the fourth chapter, is that Jesus got prepared to do ministry to carry out the will of God by the Holy Spirit lighting upon him, and that he got led out of this into the wilderness by the Spirit to be able to deal with the flesh in a spiritual manner. And so when he was tempted in the Spirit, he responded to the word with the word of God. And when we look at Ephesians 6, and you go down to verse I wanted to look at, and we said put on the whole armor of God, and he said you'd be able to withstand an evil day. And he says in verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation. And the second part of that verse says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in order for us to do spiritual warfare against the spiritual wickedness in high places, we have to do what Jesus did, use the word of God,
right.
which is the sword of the Spirit. And so this is what Jesus used, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to be able to overcome the spiritual attack by the enemy that will try to keep us or prevent us from carrying out the will of God.
Amen. And that's it. I mean, you said it. That's the only way to do battle with Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Weak is through the word of God and having that in your heart. It doesn't have to be the perfect word, but if you're, you know, letter by letter, but Satan recognizes when you're calling on the name of Jesus. He recognizes when you're pulling from that Bible. He recognizes when you're calling him out, and you resist him. He sees
yep.
that resistance, and then he has to flee.
But he's going to come back.
Dr. Zeke.
Yep.
He is going to come back. But the key to it is, and as you said, you know, you've got to know what the word says. You've got to have some knowledge of the word. And the only way to do that is to get into the word. And it's got to be more than just, you know, you bring your Bible on Sunday, but then when you leave, you put it back on the shelf or whatever, and it's collecting dust. Until
mm-hmm.
people fully understand that they've got to get, that everything that we need is in that Bible. The
mm-hmm.
power
mm-hmm.
is in the
mm-hmm.
And the Lord is not going to bless you with the power unless you use it.
That's right.
So it's to mm-hmm. our best interest to pick up that word, get in it, study it, get it in us, and let the word in us so that then
mm-hmm.
we can use that sword to do battle with the enemy.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to get to the phone line to ask questions. Yes. Because the whole thing of studying is for people to get an understanding. I don't want to just keep going and people not understand. But I just want to understand if people understand what the sword of the Spirit is, the word of God. And if they understand that's how we do battle in the spirit realm. So I want to go to the first caller. And we want to go to first caller, last four digits, 2409. You're on the air.
I guess this is me. how I think, this is me, Cynthia. How I think that I deal with the Word of God, because I'm just getting myself back into church and things like that. I just start letting people do unnecessary dumping on me. Like, I have a lot of friends that I give advice to and things like that, how I use the word of God. I just try to make sure that I try to study a little as much as I can. I work 24 hours almost in my business, so I try to get in as much as I can into
mm-hmm.
my Bible. I just get
mm-hmm.
on my phone and read just one piece of the scripture at a time. Or sometimes when I get on the prayer line, I can't get on immediately, but when I do get on, I love hearing everybody else to help
replenish
my spirit. Today I'm on Bible study. I didn't get to come on at 8, but I came on once my last child left. I came on at the time that I got on, so I can give my undivided attention and making sure that I get that focus. As you talking about the scriptures, I make sure that now if I can't get through it during the time when I'm at work, that if I'm doing Bible study at least weekly, I can go through the scripture by what you guys quote. So if you quoted Matthew, the chapter, I'm reading the chapter as, you know, I try to at least complete that portion of Bible study. So I can at least get some of the fruit of the Spirit inside my body. So
amen.
I can light the world, because sometimes, you know, when I'm dealing with the outside forces and, you know, people with issues or family with issues or my friend with issues or, you know, and things like that, I just try to make sure that I don't be judgmental. I always see, and when I'm getting in arguments too, I always see my part that I play in it first. I don't always seek to be understood. I seek to be to understand first.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7639. 7639, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
First thing is, over the years, and this is a philosophy that I have. Well, it's actually scripture. When I was a child, I thought and act like a child. And now that I'm a grown man, I learned to put away childish things. Sometimes in our flesh, we act a lot like children. And I'm not just talking about teenage children. We can get as bad as 4 and 5 and 3 year olds. But God has blessed me to realize certain things in order to fight Satan. To have a fighting chance, you must get into your word more. You must pray more, and you must put what you've learned into practice, because he's going to keep coming after you in different ways. Sometimes I see him coming, sometimes. Most of the time, I don't see him coming. I just prepare myself for him. And, you know, I thank God that I know how to go to the Word. I know how to pray. I'm not the best prayer. I'm not the best reader of the Word. But most of the stuff that I read in the Bible, I understand. A lot of what I still don't understand, but I can see where Satan is even trying to take the word away from me. It seems like some of the time when I'm on the bus, I have to remind myself, keep your stuff with you, because I put my Bible in the bag, and I've attempted to read the word or take the word with me to work to go to read it. You can't read the word if you ain't got the word with you, because you've left all that stuff on the bus. Somebody else is going to be reading your Bible. So, the Holy Spirit just guides you to things. It just guides you to the truth, but you got to be able to read your word. You got to be able to call on God and ask for him to put his spirit in you. Otherwise, like Sheila said, and it's me. A lot of what she talked about as far as her son Aaron, Sheila, there would have been a time you wouldn't have been able to calm me down. I would have yelled at that police officer, you know. Now I look at them, you know, like I'm telling everybody in prayer and praise service, police officer there. I see him. I want to get some information from him. My mind immediately said, don't you dare go to that police officer, because it's gonna be something going on. Go to the one that you feel comfortable with. And I just felt that the Spirit speaking to me. I'm like, I can approach this guy. Because he'll talk to me on my level. He's not going to yell at me. He's not going to scream at me, you know. So I did exactly what he told me to do. But the Holy Spirit is there for any of us that want to have him. You know, mm-hmm. but you gotta in order want you gotta want that spirit to be in you, because if he's not in you, sooner or later somebody's gonna do something, say something to you, or try to do something to you, and Curtis is just gonna be Curtis. And some of you all already know what a temper I've had. It's been on display in a number of occasions. I don't want to be that Curtis. I want to be the loving, spiritual Curtis that sit down when he's in his right frame of mind, when he's calm, and, you know, just speak about the Bible, speak about the Word, you know. Let's have a conversation. And you know, I've been yelled at recently. I've been screamed at. I've been cursed at. Okay, not a problem. I'ma still love you, you know. I'm just not going to curse back at you. I'm just not going to scream back mm-hmm. at you. Use the tools that God gave you, which
Amen.
Is the sword, which is the Bible, and use that Holy Spirit. And, you know, while you are being helped, you in turn can help someone else, because people look at us as Christians, and they want to see mm-hmm. how we react. And they may say to themselves, if this guy can be this calm, this unangry, that's not a word, but if he can be not angry at all or just a little angry, but he's calm, he's got his emotions in check, then maybe this is showing me something. Maybe I might want to be around people like this. Maybe I might want to, maybe the Spirit of God, seeing that in him, may compel me to want to turn to God to get my life in order. And that's it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. And go to our one more caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343,
you're
on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, I'm so glad that you used Grandma, because every time I'm looking at, because that's where everything, mostly us blacks got our stuff from. It came from Grandma. The Holy Spirit
Amen.
Always with Grandma, because whenever we got into trouble, somebody was praying for us, because we know we came out good. You know, we say we're lucky. But we didn't, because we just luckily had a praying Grandma that we watched
mm-hmm.
over our backs every day. And that's where we got it from. And each year we grow older, we learn. If you stay with the book, you learn, you read, and you hear things, and you hold it in your spirit. And that's what this Holy Spirit for you. And you love to see how it works. And keep your mouth closed and your ears open, and you'll learn.
All right.
You've got to keep your eyes open and see, because the world is full of the devil every day. You walk
mm-hmm.
on to open your door and walk out, and the devil's walking down the street, and he's waiting for
mm-hmm.
you, waiting for you every day. So as long as you got the Holy Spirit in you, if the Grandma gave it to you, hold on to it, and you're going to be all right. Thank you very much.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your
Amen.
Comment tonight. Yeah, one more caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. You're speaking on my favorite scripture, Ephesians 6:10, putting on the whole armor of God.
You didn't cuss that guy out that throw your party today.
I did not. I had the whole armor on, and I looked at him and I said, "God bless you, God bless you, God."
But there
bless
was a time. There was a time.
There was a time. I ran over it. I done took my car, ran over that joker, and kept getting up. But God said no. God said no. He had better things for me to do. It wasn't even worth wasting my breath. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for you all, because you all have taught me, although I've known the Word all my life, but you can never know too much.
Right.
And that's the first thing in being a Christian, knowing God's Word, knowing the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And applying it to your life, to your everything, because the word tells you everything you need to know about you and he.
Amen.
He is God, our Father.
Uh-huh.
And it has protected me. It has given me the strength to speak with others. It's not because they don't know the word, but sometimes they don't know how to apply it in their everyday life. Just this
mm-hmm.
day, and that's why I couldn't be a preacher, because you go through so much.
Yes.
Nobody knows in one day what
mm-hmm.
a pastor, a minister goes through. Today I got up, my phone rang. I got a call from a friend in Atlanta. This lady's married to a man, a pastor. And I asked her, I said, "Why are you calling me?" She said, "Aunt Vi, you always tell me the right thing to do." I said, "No, it ain't me, it's God."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "It's God. You got to go back to the basics and say to yourself, what would God do?"
Mm-hmm.
That's the Holy Spirit leading you.
Amen.
The flesh is taking over, and you forgot what he has taught you. And when I finished with her, I told her the right thing to do, let your light shine.
Amen.
Speak the word of God,
mm-hmm.
and he'll take care of the rest. Intercessory prayer. But she doesn't know. I don't see her. I said, write her a letter. Send a nice card. Do something nice,
mm-hmm.
something loving.
Mm-hmm.
Then run into this joker on the parking lot. I'm waiting 15 minutes for that parking space, and he took it. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. That's when you call on him.
Amen.
Tell him what you want. And tell him what you want. Lord have mercy. I just looked at him. All I said to him was, "Do you know how long I've been waiting for this parking space? And you come up and take it." He said, "You was blocking me from getting it. I had to go around you." I closed my car door. I closed my car door, and I let the Holy Spirit take over me. And I said, "God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you." But the Holy
Amen.
Spirit is a powerful tool, and we must, as Christians, know His word and be able to apply it to our lives, and
mm-hmm.
then be able to minister. You don't have to be a preacher to
mm-hmm.
minister to someone.
That's right.
We have to be lifted up, prepared at all times to administer God's word to others.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
They will never forget it. They will never forget it. Like the gentleman said about prayer, I'm not the greatest prayer. I talk to God in my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He answers, and that's all
Amen.
It is. Communication with your Heavenly Father.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I don't try to mimic somebody else or what they say.
Right.
I talk to my God, and God knows He comes to my rescue.
Amen.
That's the purpose of prayer, knowing what to pray for.
Amen.
Knowing how to be in touch with your Father when you need Him.
Mm.
So don't worry about the way you sound.
That's right.
Anything. Humble your heart, because it's your God, your spirit, and your love to Him and Him to you.
Amen.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And I thank God for you, Pastor, my little Sheila's, and Pastor Gregory, and all you all that are on this line.
Bless
we all
you.
Get benefits from each other's testimony and word.
Amen.
Sharing God's word so that we, when we get in those kind of situations and we need a helping hand from God, whose word has power over all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned to this lady, I said, "You know, God knows us by name, our name."
Yeah.
I said, "Did you know that?"
Yes, he does.
He knows every hair on your head.
Yes, he does.
And if he has that power, who has the power?
Mm.
He gives it to us. We just don't utilize it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't utilize it. But you all have given us strength to be bold.
God be the glory.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
It's there. You have to use it. And don't be afraid or ashamed to use it. Now, I'm talking to a pastor's wife. And you would think that she would be, you know, more versed
mm-hmm.
on using God's word.
Amen.
To get results. When you go to God in prayer, you're looking for results.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And if you live the life, you have the faith, you trust him, it's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a continuous thing. This is not
right.
Day and tomorrow, think about it. No. No. God wants it every day.
Right.
That's right.
And we have to be connected. That's what keeps us connected with him. With him. And if I have any doubt about anything that's bothering me, I pick up that phone and I call my pastor.
Okay.
Amen. This is going on, and I don't know if I'm going in the right direction. Don't be afraid to
Amen.
Say that you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
How should I approach this?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing wrong, or what should I do? Still connected with God's angel that he has placed before you. You're never disconnected
mm-hmm.
unless you go sinning and acting a fool.
Uh-oh.
But when you're doing it and doing it right, he's going to send a comforter. And your spiritual leader, who is your pastor, is the person to
Amen.
Turn to. Them outsiders doing anything and everything, no, you're going in the wrong direction. You stick with God, his word,
Amen.
His spirit. You're going to be all right. I'm a living testimony. I am a living testimony. I love you guys, and I love the way you all train us and teach us to be
love
bold
you.
And loving. Thank
Amen.
You again.
Amen. Amen. We love you too. Thank you for your word of encouragement. Dr. G, you want to say your last word and close out in prayer? And just love everyone on the line and wish everyone continued blessing. Dr. G?
Amen. Well, we thank God for just another Thursday evening. It is important that, you know, I heard someone say, you know, thing is we have to make time because we make time for everything else. But when it comes down to studying the word, then we don't have time. And that's Uh-oh. Where we fall short because we can't get the nourishment that we need or the encouragement or the strength that we need to continue on. And, you know, the Lord is looking for some continued commitment. We can't be in and out when it comes to him. So, you know, we pray that each of you will continue to stand strong, continue to get in that word. Make time for the Lord. Make time to study. Even if it's 15, 20 minutes at
mm-hmm.
a time, you make time to get in there and study. And you'll find that when you do that, God will bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. Because you're going to get tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be times when you're going to be tempted and tried.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to
mm-hmm.
know the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can speak the word of God. So we thank all of you who have called in and pray that you will continue to take that word and just apply it to your lives. With that being said, we're going to ask you to bow your heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for one more evening, Lord. We thank you for this session, Lord, that we've gotten into your word. We thank you for learning about power of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, we thank you for learning how we've got to put on the whole armor of God and
mm-hmm.
understand we've got that sword that we can do battle with the enemy. Father, we pray right now that you would continue to bless these that call week after week. I pray,
yes,
Lord,
yes.
that get the understanding that they need the power of God, and they just can't get it all on Sunday. Father, help us to continue to study that word and grow through it. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Ask it all in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.